I want us to think tonight about a theme that we have come across in 1 Thessalonians, but which I'm going to pick up in a way tonight, which is a little different in that I'm going to look at it more as a theme through the Bible. It's a theme that we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verses 4, 5, 6, 7, for example. The theme of the difference between darkness and light, and then those who are asleep and those who are awake. And the theme really emphasizes that sometimes sleep is a picture in the Bible, not just of physical rest, which we all need, but sleep can be a picture of being spiritually asleep, which is actually very dangerous. Asleep in unbelief. Asleep even as a Christian, not spiritually alert. And what I'm going to do tonight is to gather for us some examples from the Word of God of people who are not just physically asleep, but people who are spiritually asleep. And as a result, being spiritually asleep, they ended up in great danger. The challenge for us then is to be spiritually wide awake, spiritually alert, spiritually discerning, waiting for and ready for that great day of which 1 Thessalonians has spoken to us. We are to know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. When the day of the Lord comes, will you be asleep, spiritually asleep, or awake, spiritually awake? And so in gathering some examples, we're going to do a sort of whistle-stop tour through the Bible of people who are not just physically asleep, but actually were spiritually asleep. And the result was danger and sometimes disaster. If you want to follow some of these examples, I'll give you the references. If you want to follow, you can follow, but we're going to go fairly quickly through the examples to draw out some spiritual lessons. The first is in Judges chapter 16, where we read about a man called Samson who was asleep. Judges chapter 16, and we'll read from verse 4. It happened that Samson loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him," entice Samson, "and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies, and with what you are bound to afflict you." And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. And she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with." So he said to her, "If they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Therefore Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And men were lying in wait, staying in the room. But he broke them off his arms like a thread. Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom." So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies." And it came to pass, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him, so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. What I'm saying is that you can be spiritually asleep, like Samson asleep on Delilah's lap. Samson had lost his strength. He'd lost his liberty. We read on in this story, he lost his eyes, and ultimately he lost his life. But at this point, though Samson at his death knew a measure of God's restoration, here in chapter 16, Samson asleep on Delilah's lap, is a picture of someone who had once been strong in the Lord and in the power of God's might. When the Spirit of the Lord had come upon Samson, Samson had done many mighty works. But his enemies, the Philistines, feared him. They used Delilah to entice him. And we read what happened to him. Samson drifts away. There is this weakness in Samson's life, it appears. So at this point now, he has spiritually drifted and spiritually gone to sleep. And what a tragic comment we have there in verse 20. Samson is asleep. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him. That's a tragic picture, isn't it, of a Christian? A Christian who's spiritually been lulled to sleep by carnality in this world and has grieved the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit has withdrawn. Here's a picture of deadly danger. You see, you could be asleep tonight in Delilah's lap. I wonder what Delilah's lap is for you. It can be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It can be money, the workplace, pleasure, family, acceptance, some besetting sin. The Philistines are not asleep. The Philistines are out to get Samson. The devil is not asleep. But Satan at work here, using Delilah. And Samson's hair, which was the sign of his consecration to God, his hair was cut off while the Philistines looked on. And Samson asleep, drifting away from God, and yet not even realizing that the Lord was not with him. The Lord had departed from him. Do you know, it's a sad thing, it can be a tragic thing, that here Samson now is weak as a kitten. His strength has departed from him because the Lord has departed from him. Was a man who before, when the Lord had come upon him, had been known as a man of great strength. Here's a word of warning for us too. When the Christian sleeps spiritually, drifts further and further and further away from God, eventually, no, the Christian can sink lower than ever the Christian was in the world before that person became a Christian. Satan tonight wanting to steal from you and rob you of your spiritual strength, your love for Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about that danger, leaving your first love and spiritually sleeping. And as faith wanes, the sleep takes hold, love for Jesus Christ fades. Christian service fades away. Evangelism and desire to reach up with the gospel fades away. You see here a picture of what we read then in 1 Thessalonians 5. Let us not sleep. Beware of that danger of spiritually sleeping. And that God can awaken you tonight through his word and by his spirit, and to be aware of this terrible danger of being so spiritually asleep, like Samson, not even realizing the danger. And he didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. You'd think Samson would have known from these occasions when Delilah again and again and again calls the Philistines. But it's obvious. She's deceiving him. He's in great danger. But he sleeps on. And eventually, we read of him here, taken captive by the Philistines. Let us not sleep like Samson. Let me give you another reading. And this time in the book of the prophet Jonah. And here we have Jonah asleep. And we'll read of Jonah in chapter 1 and especially verse 5. But let's read some of the chapter in the book of the prophet Jonah, page 623 in the Church Bibles. Jonah, another believer who's asleep. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. Let us not sleep, the Bible says. Here's a prophet. And he's in a ship that's being thrown around in a storm. And we read about even the others in the ship crying out to their gods. Notice verse 5. Every man cried out to his God. But Jonah was asleep. Every man calling upon his God, apart from the man who had caused the storm. The one who caused the danger is the most careless. The captain and the crew are all crying out to their gods, and Jonah carelessly slept on. I think one of the great dangers in today's church is this danger of the church being spiritually asleep in this matter of prayer. Why is it that we are living at a time when it seems the prayer meeting and times of prayer are times which in the modern church have been sidelined? The Church of Jesus Christ in the United Kingdom, spiritually asleep. The preacher values the prayers of God's people. We need to pray for one another. We were thinking on Thursday evening of love directing us as we pray for one another. This week we'll be meeting together to pray for the spread of the gospel, not only here but even in other parts of the world, very needy areas for the church to arise and pray. Turkey, that great nation, so in need of the gospel. And now God doing unusual things in Turkey, bringing thousands and thousands of refugees across the border from nations around into Turkey. Or opportunities, great opportunities for the gospel and the church asleep. You can even read about times of God in great blessing coming upon the church and finding that there are still believers who spiritually are asleep. Some of you know I was brought up in South Wales, in a part of South Wales quite near where a great work of God was done in 1904 in an area called Lacha, where that work began. Very near, there's another small town called Gowerton, which is where I went to school. Here's a striking thing during the time of the revival, 1904. In Lacha, the churches were on fire, and there were times of great blessing. In Gowerton, just 2 or 3 miles away, all the way through that time of great blessing, the church was asleep. Here's the Lord saying to Jonah, go with a message to Nineveh. Jonah decides he's going to run in the opposite direction. If you're running away from God tonight, that's a very foolish thing to do. God had a great fish that was going to swallow up Jonah. But even in his running away from God, we see Jonah spiritually asleep. And certainly here, as we read about him in the boat, as others around him are calling on their false gods, Jonah is asleep. And if God is laying on your heart a particular calling at this time, a particular work that God has for you to do, a new opportunity for Christian service, a new area where you can bring God's word in a new way, perhaps, to needy people. Here's a great danger. Don't run away from God. Don't spiritually sleep. Let us not sleep, says the Bible. The day is coming when the Lord will return. On that day, no longer there'll be that opportunity to serve the Lord. So let's call on God and let's pray that God will work us up and work the Church of Jesus Christ in our nation about this time from the sleep of prayerlessness. Let us not sleep. Samson asleep. Jonah asleep. The Lord Jesus often spoke in this way about the danger of spiritually being asleep and the need to be spiritually alert. Listen to the Lord Jesus speaking about this in Matthew chapter 13 in a parable, the parable as it's called of the wheat and the tares. This is Matthew chapter 13 verse 24, page 658. Another parable Jesus put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares, weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servants said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then verse 36, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear this parable that Jesus told in a field that was reserved for wheat, but while they slept, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the good corn. And without going into all the details of this parable, surely again it warns us in the Church of Jesus Christ of this danger of being spiritually asleep. You know, it's not just the preacher, not just an elder who's to be a watchman and to be spiritually alert. But tonight, the Bible calls every believer. We have an enemy who will try to scatter weeds, tares. If the Church of Jesus Christ tonight is dear to your heart, a church that is spiritually asleep will very quickly become an unholy church. A church that doesn't guard the truth as it is in Jesus will become a church that wanders off in sleep into error. And eventually will become a dead church. Someone sent me an email this last week about 14 church buildings in Wales which are being auctioned off in a week or two's time. Some of them will become homes which people will transform them into houses to live in, businesses, cafes, warehouses, auction houses, all sorts of things. Now, what happened? Why is it that places where once the word of God was proclaimed have ended up in an auctioneer's auction being sold off for people to buy and turn them into houses or businesses? We see that didn't happen overnight. But what happened is slowly the church slept. And as it slept, weeds began to sprout and form. And false doctrine crept in, along with prayerlessness and worldliness. And that church that's spiritually asleep ends up dead. Spiritually sleeping when we should be alert means the church grieves the Holy Spirit, causes the Spirit to withdraw. That opens the door to Satan, who will come in and take every opportunity to do harm to the work of God. The only way for the church to be spiritually healthy is by every member being awake, being watchful, being alert. I'm saying tonight, are you living near to Jesus Christ? Are you drinking from that fountainhead of truth and purity so that you yourself are pure and watchful? So that error, false doctrine, going astray, that we are aware of these errors. Sleep, this spiritual sleep, is always dangerous. Watchfulness is always profitable. And you see, if we are to pray that God, by the power of his Spirit, will draw nearer to us in more grace, more power, then we must be watchful for that blessing And that our sins don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Our error doesn't grieve the Holy Spirit. That our sleepiness spiritually will not grieve the Holy Spirit. It's time, the Bible is saying to us, to be awake, to be prayerful, to have closer fellowship and love and desires after Jesus Christ, and to be aware there is an enemy who is at work. Sometimes the devil works and attacks the church by making us so fearful that we see the devil in everything that's happening and somehow end up imagining almost if the devil has equal power with God. But that's not where most of the church in the UK is tonight. Most of the church in the UK has gone over to the other side of that error, almost as if to imagine there is no enemy. We forget about this enemy, the devil. And that lack of alertness spiritually can lead us into great danger then. When they asked about who has done this, who has sown tares among the wheat, the Bible is quite clear. The enemy came. Jesus said, the enemy who sowed the tares, the weeds, is the devil. So I need your prayers. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs your prayers. And we need one another, that we will know spiritual alertness and to be cautious about that activity of an enemy, which is why we must put on the armor of God, as we've been singing earlier. Because there is an enemy who will sow weeds among the tares. Chris read to us another parable of Jesus about the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. And again, we have a picture of those who are spiritually asleep. There was the delay in the bridegroom coming. The virgins slept. And then the cry went up, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Now, they were all asleep. But some were wise. And some, as my Sunday school teacher used to tell me, some were otherwise. Some were foolish, in other words. In other words, the Bible reminds us, Jesus was going to return. And his return may seem like a long time to us. It's been 2,000 years now since the Lord came the first time. And we remind ourselves that with the Lord, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. But suppose the Lord were to return tonight. If instead of going back home, the Son of God was to be revealed in his glory. Suddenly, that cry goes up. The bridegroom is coming. Would you be ready? Or would some be like these foolish virgins? It seems here the picture is of those who do not know anything of the power and reality of God at work in their heart and life. Because those without the oil in their lamps, at the end of this parable, come to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, open to us, let us in. Verse 12, but he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. What a disaster it would be, wouldn't it? To hear the preaching of the gospel and yet still at the Lord's return to be unready because you've not personally believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, for every believer, this truth about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, it challenges us to be ready. Are there books in the Bible that you've never read? One of the things some people have said to me, we've got this scheme at the moment of reading the Bible together. And some people have commented to me that what it's done, it's made them pick up and read books in the Bible that perhaps they'd not read before. It's a great challenge to us, isn't it, to be people. How are we going to be able to spot error? How are we going to discern what the truth is in Jesus Christ if we are not people who are getting to grips with the Bible, the whole Bible, all of God's truth? That over a year or two, not just reading the parts of the Bible that you particularly find easy to read, but that God stretches your mind and heart and life to get to grips with parts of the Bible which will really take us out of, as people say these days, out of our comfort zone individually and as a church, to get to grips with all the Bible. Books of the Bible you've never read, missionaries that the church supports who you've never prayed for. People who in your mind you've often thought, I should say a word to that man, to that lady, about Jesus Christ. But you've never yet spoken to them. On Saturday, I was walking along in Mill Hill, the road there. And there's a very kind lady there who works in a place where, when we look after my son's mad dog, his name is Barney. When we look after him, we take him down there sometimes for that lady to wash and trim and cut his hair and keep him all clean and spruce. And we went there on Saturday, and the lady suddenly started opening up to us about her daughter, whom she's very concerned about and who's very seriously ill. And I was saying to Wendy after we'd been in the shop, when we go back to that lady on Thursday, I'm going to take her something from the church here, something just suitable that I can just say to her, have you ever thought about reading this? May help you as you're concerned and anxious and crying and worried about your daughter who's very ill. But you know, and I know, the big danger is to just not to have the courage to speak up, to reach out, to say the word, to give the booklet or whatever it is. Apologies that need to be made that don't get made. Restitution that needs to be paid that's never been paid. This midnight cry, the parable says, and yet to be unready. Let us not sleep, says the Bible. I've got one last example of those who are asleep. It may be it was the first example that came to your mind when I thought about this theme of the. And it's in Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. And this is page 710. Coming out, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to the disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Here's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as Jesus struggles in prayer, there's a great preacher in Scotland called Rabbi Duncan who says about verse 43, that angel who came to Jesus in the garden and who strengthened him, Rabbi Duncan said, when I get to heaven, I want to shake the hand of that angel. Because as the Lord struggles and agonizes in prayer, the disciples sleep. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Jesus asked them. They were sleeping for sorrow. As we think of the zeal of Jesus Christ for the salvation of lost men and women like you and me, all through his life, all through his ministry, denying himself, doing his Father's will, not shrinking at all from that task which the Father had put before him. It was his meat and drink to do the will of his Father. His life's direction. He must be about his Father's business. And was so committed to saving lost men and women that he was willing even to lay down his own life for our salvation. Lay down his life to seek and to save that which was lost. Here's Jesus, the mighty Savior, in Gethsemane, earnestly praying, agonizing before his Father. He will lay down his life for men and women. And the disciples are asleep. What a contrast with the Lord Jesus Christ. The zeal of the Savior for salvation, the disciples asleep. As God wakes us, that we might be able to wrestle with God and pray as Jesus did, that we might have that zeal, something of it, which the Lord knew, to do the will of God. If it's true what I'm saying, that today the danger is the Christian church is asleep, all the more reason tonight for God, by his word and by his spirit, to wake us up as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ as he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. To spiritually sleep when we have the word of God, when we have the convicting, converting, comforting work of the Holy Spirit. For you tonight to hear the gospel, if you're not a Christian, and not believe and entrust yourself to Jesus Christ, or as a Christian, to have things in your Christian life where you've gone to sleep, and now the Lord seeks to awaken you. Let God take this word to my heart and yours tonight. In a society where to spiritually be asleep is the norm, let us not sleep, says the Bible. May the Lord make us prayerful, watchful, alert. The hymn writer says, Christian, don't seek sleep. Watch and pray. And we're going to sing it now in our last hymn, 745. 745. Christian, seek not yet repose, which is another word for sleep. Cast your dreams of ease away. You are in the midst of foes. There is an enemy. Watch and pray. Watch, the last verse says, as if on that alone hung the issue of the day. Don't sleep. Watch. Pray that help may be sent down. Watch and pray. 745. We'll sing this together.
Oh.
Take a seat. Let's pray together. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you tonight. We pray, Lord, that you will cleanse us and renew us from all those dangers of spiritual sleepiness that we've been thinking about. We drift off into spiritual sleep. What danger, what disaster it has brought us. We pray that you will teach us, even as we've sung, of what it means to watch and pray, that that might be true for us individually and as a church congregation, and that you will help us in the light of this great day of the Lord. Teach us what it means to be watchful, prayerful, ready for that midnight cry, ready for that great day when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. And we thank you, Lord, that as we come tonight, aware of our sins and our dangers, that we have set before us the Lord's table, which tells us of a mighty Saviour whose blood was shed that we might be cleansed from every sin. The Saviour to whom we look in faith tonight for strength and grace, for fresh supplies of the Spirit, that, Lord, we might be those who don't drift off into such dangers, but might look to him and keep looking to him, the mighty captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ, who gives us the victory again and again. So we pray, hear us as we come now, and we come in that great and mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.